everybody. Welcome back to the Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with...
Pauly Presents, known as the Moo Cow. Moo!
Alright, and since it's Paul's pick today, and he hasn't even told me what I'm about to watch.
No, it's a secret.
So you guys know.
Up until now, but just to refresh your memory, this is season two of Indie Film Cafe, and we are starting off the Moo year with a real treat. It is a movie, which is actually a Troma release, even though they did not actually make it. They released it, and the film is called Actium Maximus.
Ooh, I have no idea. I've never heard of that one.
So. Yes, it's, I think the subtitle's something like The Planet of the Dinosaur Wars or something like that.
That's interesting that you picked that as your first episode back,
yep.
Considering the first episode that we ever aired was Prehistoric Bimbos from Armageddon City.
I thought that had a nice little ring to it, and I thought you might pick up on that. And yep, so I couldn't resist it. It's one I've been wanting to do for a while. It was just, it's just so, yeah. You haven't seen anything quite like this, I promise you.
I'm excited. I wonder if it'll be stinky enough.
Oh, it'll be stinky, trust me.
Okay, well, until then, everybody, how about let's listen to some
Moon music.
And hey, we're back.
We're back.
Oh my God.
Wow. Actium Maximus.
You've seen this movie.
Yeah, so you've seen
this more than once.
This was number two. This was number two. This is the second time I've seen it. I really could barely get through the first one, and I'm not 100% sure I'll be seeing it too many times afterwards, but I bought it anyway because it is so bad. It is just unbelievably bad.
It is a horrible, horrible movie.
I mean... there are very, very few redeeming things to say about it. I mean, I guess we'll manage to come up with it because even as bad as it was, I don't think it's quite the disaster that some other films we've seen are, but it's pretty damn close. It's one of the most incomprehensible of all films that we've seen. Don't ask me what the hell's going on.
I mean, right.
I guess we could possibly sort of maybe touch upon the plot.
I can't. Maybe you can.
Okay, so and there's this far-off world called Actium, which has a colony, which also is called Actium. And
wait, Actium and Actium?
There's Actium planet, and there's Actium colony. And one of them, I guess the Actium colony is ruled by this box with two blue eyes, and he's got a bunch of rock people there, and a bunch of other things that kind of go blah, 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 blah.
And yeah, they do.
They have, like, this arena. And that's where the slimy dinosaur puppets fight to the death. And I guess they have other people who kind of run on there and they get eaten by the puppets. And then there's this guy, Jacintos Axum. That's Mark Hicks, the guy who wrote and directed and shot
and stars.
Did the music and does everything. He also stars in it. And I guess his character is supposed to be this bounty hunter sort of thing where he is ordered to go to some other colony, some unpronounceable planet in some unpronounceable world in some unpronounceable universe, and he's got to collect some unpronounceable animals to bring back. And as he goes there with his little group of unpronounceable friends, and they run into this unpronounceable, strange, stupid-looking, highly pixelated rock that I guess is supposed to be a spaceship, which turns out to be the corpse of a dead god. And what this has to do with collecting the specimens, I don't know. But I guess they get infatuated with trying to figure out what it means and where it comes from. Then they all get stuck. And then the little winged bat thing flies out of the box's head. And then it says to be continued. That's the movie.
That is the movie in a nutshell.
I mean...
in a really nasty, weird fucking nutshell.
It is so incomprehensible. I mean, literally, there are minutes that drone by where the entire dialogue is...
it's loud.
So weird. And then they put subtitles in sort of, like, for part of the time. And not all of the time. God forbid we understand what's going on. But it doesn't really help. You read it and you're like, I still have no idea what's going on.
There is a lot of... Well, okay, and the worst part is there's subtitles sometimes.
Right.
But not subtitles for every single time those things talk. So there are times where they're going... You can't understand a word that they're saying. There's no subtitles. I mean...
It's ridiculous.
It is a harsh movie to watch. Because, you know, a lot of times I got kind of bored, you know? I wanted something interesting to happen in a storyline that actually makes sense. But I had to figure the first episode out of season two had to be something I wasn't going to be able to sit through. I squirmed through.
Oh, my God. Well, like I said, the thing about it is, I mean, if you can't understand what you're seeing, you can't understand what they're saying, and you have no idea what's going on, what do you have? What do you have to hang on to? What do you have to latch on to as a viewer? It's just incomprehensible muck.
Yep. Know? Nope. I totally get it. But all right, let's okay, so we talked about the plot.
Such
let's
as
talk
it is.
About the characters, I guess, would be
well,
next.
We've got the box, the Imperial I don't know what the hell he is.
Grand Automaton Palpox is the 14th dictator of Actium in the line of the Vostromus beings, who seized control of the colony 700 moons earlier in Actium history.
The box.
The big guy. He's the sort of big guy that runs everything.
And when we say it's a box, it's like a box that like turns every now and then or something.
Right.
Like, it is the weirdest thing. And it has like lights on it.
And little tubes and just goofy shit.
It's just a strange character. But, and then there's the main guy we said earlier.
Right. He's the bounty hunter.
He's the bounty hunter.
There's like a pointy rock that will, he's like the very, one of the very few characters who you can actually sort of understand.
Mm-hmm.
Not that what he says makes a whole lot of sense, mm-hmm. but, you know, at least he's, you know, he's kind of there. I guess this is the film director's idea of presenting a sort of Star Wars-ish universe where there's all these different alien, extremely alien creatures that, you know, they're so alien that we can't recognize them in any kind of way, which, okay, I get. But, you know, the problem with that is that if you don't have at least something that you can identify with, it's just nonsense. It's just gobbledygook.
We're going back to the characters.
Right.
So I'm trying to keep us on track like Jen used to. You know,
that's really it. I mean, you know, there's a female character whose name I never got, who's kind of like a tag along with Mark Hicks's character.
Uh-huh.
She kind of explains a few things. And then there's another puppet that's there who I can't understand. There's a number of puppets that just I can't understand what the hell they're saying.
Yeah.
And for that, I couldn't tell you what their names are.
Yeah, none of them have real names. Like, I mean, as far as I know.
No, they're all.
And if they did, we didn't understand that was a name because,
right.
Like, they were names that we didn't understand what they were saying
it's
most of the time.
Gobbledygook, really, is what
yeah.
it is. That's my name. You know, it's so weird.
Oh, but what about there was the male character that kind of, like,
oh,
is
the
he
robe
like,
guy.
Yeah, he's some
with
guy in a robe.
Face.
Yeah, and he doesn't, he like, he's, I thought I heard at one point the box had called him like
a priest
or something.
Right.
So he, your highness, your worship or something like that. So
right.
There was something, you know, there he's supposed to be some kind of priest or something. I kind of view him as like, I don't know, like I thought he, at first he looked like the emperor from Star Wars, but he isn't the emperor. He isn't a bad guy. He isn't a head person. He's actually like more like the box's assistant or something.
He's a box assistant. He's one of the very few humanoids actually there. I mean, there's like three, I think, and that's about it.
Yeah, and then there's a bunch of like random boxes that are like little creatures that kind of move around back and forth or whatever. Like they're on remote controls or something.
Right.
So they move around
just
like
kind
back
of
and forth.
Randomly go back and forth.
Oh my god, it's so weird.
And you have to understand. So everything is being shot on these models. The sets are all models, or they're green screened into the background. So we had to watch the director's comment at the end. It's like a little 4-minute interview. And he talks about how they found this cave, Ruby Falls, and he thought it was so cool that they green screened in the movie there. Mm-hmm. So that's the world that they live in, and that's where that, and then there's the model of the ruined city, and then there's this battleship, the Battleship Alabama. Those are the three sets that come up throughout. That's it. That's the entire planet.
So we got plot, we got the characters, and we got the locations. This is going to be a short podcast, honestly, because we're almost done with all the stuff, and we don't really got much else to say on this, because it is a...
Well, I guess we could try and address some of the positive qualities about it.
Music.
Okay, so the music, there was some interesting music. I mean, honestly, it's more to me like grasping like straws, because if you were to put this music on any other movie, I probably wouldn't even notice it, but... The very fact that I could at least understand the music in my brain and it wasn't bad,
right,
made it a plus for me.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would describe it. It's kind of like a mix of metal and a little bit of like sort of futuristic spacey organ stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out, of course, our director, writer, editor, cameraman was the composer as well. So he did that. So... You know, fair marks to you, Mr. Hicks, for at least doing the music part well.
Yeah, he's at least got some talent for creating, you know, interesting music. The fact is, yeah, you're right. If he puts it on another movie or something, it would probably just blend in and wouldn't be like that noticeable. But the fact that it's on this movie just is, yeah, is decent. I don't know.
I mean, it's something to latch onto that's not pulling your teeth out without any, you know, anesthetic. Otherwise, yeah, the rest of it, I mean, I guess we could touch a little bit on the special effects. The puppets are awful. They're just awful. They're supposed to be dinosaurs. Instead, they're all like the mouths are all incredibly overly wide, and they put all kinds of weird, sticky, slimy corn syrup and shit all over it. So it doesn't look natural at all. It just looks ridiculous.
It is pretty bad.
And all the camera close-ups, I guess, are supposed to make it look bigger against the fake little model set. But they just look bad.
I love how you wanted to do some positive talk, and now you're still going back to the negative. It's funny because there's like one scene in the movie that cracks me up. It's a scene where there's the female that's there or whatever, and you had pointed it out, but you're like, is he like much bigger than she is, or is she like a little midget or something? Is he like a giant, or was there some kind of like green screen or something?
So she was green screened.
Yeah, she was green screened in. And it looked bad. It looked like he was like twice her size when obviously they're supposed to be the same size. They're humans.
Well, and then the green screen effects themselves are all terrible. I mean, you can obviously see all the lines, the outlines. It's not smooth at all. I mean, even by 2005 standards, it's completely, completely subpar. It's Birdemic level special effects, I'm afraid to say. I will say this about the puppets, though. You haven't seen anything quite like these. I've never seen anything quite like these. They're pretty unique. They're horrible and stupid, but at the same time, they're kind of fun, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if they were voiced by, like, Jim Henson people, like, they might make it a better project, but it's voiced by the same guy who's doing multiple different voices,
right,
sometimes sounding the same, you know, or similar sounding, you know, or whatever, so it wasn't good with that, but the puppets themselves were kind of cool looking.
It's funny because when we get back and talk a little bit about the director's interview towards the end, and he talks about how, you know, obviously Star Wars and the first three Star Wars movies were sort of an influence, and that's kind of where the idea of shooting on these little models came from. The other aspect that he was mentioning was Jurassic Park, and he's like, well, we couldn't quite compete with the dinosaurs from Jurassic Park. No, you really, really couldn't. So they did the best they could with these puppets, and they don't look anything like dinosaurs. I mean, they look like if you took fiberglass or plastic dinosaur puppets and melted them in the microwave, and then they got left out in the rain for a few weeks,
Maybe that's what they did.
And somebody picked it up and they were covered with slime. That's kind of how they worked.
Yeah, they were pretty bad, but they weren't, I mean, you know, considering I bet it had like a $0 budget, you know.
Oh, like, I couldn't even begin to guess.
I would hope, you know, because who would put like a lot of money into this project?
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, the model set itself was pretty interesting. It was very, very detailed. I know that that's kind of thing is expensive to do. He seemed to infer that they had some experience both with puppet making and with model building. So I guess that's where the money for the production went, was to the design of the model sets. They weren't that good. I mean, it was shot in such a way where one of the things I guess I could mention is the over saturation of all the colors, so that the purples are extremely purple, the blues are extremely blue,
the greens
are extremely green. Everything is super oversaturated. It just kind of helps sort of, you know, make this world into some kind of weird fever dream, you know, as opposed to, there's nothing realistic about this film at all. Not even the few little bits where they're shooting outside someplace. I mean, I think you mentioned that you thought you saw that this was filmed in part in Florida.
Yeah, it says at the end it was something about special thanks to Florida or something, you know.
Well, because there are a couple of times when they're supposed to be on planet whatever the hell, where they're wandering around.
Actium or something.
Well, no, it wasn't an Actium. It was when they were chasing down the whatever stupid critters they're supposed to find. But there's actual trees and there's foliage around. And it looked like that might be in Florida someplace.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, all the colors are so super saturated. It's just very weird. It's like, you know, this doesn't look good, so we're just going to push all the colors as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange. And then I think you were mentioning, you were asking, what was it filmed on? I don't think this was film stock, do you?
I don't know. I can't tell.
I really can't tell either.
If it was 2005, it could have even been mini DV, you know, at that rate. But because that was big and popular at the time. But I want to say it could have been some kind of film stock. It might not have been like 16mm or anything, because there's no, like, you know, scratches or anything like
that.
And
there's a lot of extra grain that's been put in there, too, which is, you know, weird and strange. I don't know if they added that. And then there's another thing that I think some of the budget went to is, I guess, the dry ice machine, because there is lots of smoke and fog and mist and shit like that everywhere in every single scene. So they burned a lot of dry ice in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they did build these odd little contraptions, like whatever. I think they mentioned somewhere in the story that all the people of the planet are addicted to these skulls of these particular beings from another planet. Mm-hmm. So they harvest them. And so you see, like, even the leader is addicted to them. So they show a thing where they, like, they pull out this sort of little bin area and they're scooping in all kinds of skulls of these things and shoving them in there. And, you know, there's an actual actor there with this box. So they built this box. The leader is actually, like, you know, full size. So they had a full size functioning version of the puppet as well. So I guess that's where part of the money also went towards that. And I'm guessing securing some of these other sets. It looks like they filmed at least part of this in something that at least passes for a zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Something with bars, like in cages, possibly an abandoned one, because it looks like it's full of dead leaves and shit. And I don't know if it's something that's been hasn't been utilized in quite some time.
Did I tell you to get that rich-sized bull into the female by the end of this week? They don't have a female every week. They could die, and the Grand Automaton paid for $20 million for that one.
It's just a very odd, strange movie. You're not going to see anything else quite like this. Which is one of the reasons why I wanted to make sure I shared it with you. Because
thanks.
Oh, yeah. You know me. I'm always looking out for you, buddy. Looking out for the obscure, weird shit.
Well, I'm glad we didn't show Jen this movie. I think she would have been on her phone the whole freaking time.
Yeah, either that or she would have fallen asleep. I mean, it's really tough to try.
I'm surprised you didn't fall asleep. Because you're the one who fell asleep one of the last movies we did.
To me, this is like an intellectual puzzle. I'm trying to figure out what the hell is going on pretty much the entire film. So, you know, that's just me. I you know, I look at something like that. It's like, you know, I think of what's-his-face's character in Mallrats, where he's looking at you know, he's forever staring at the picture so he can see this the sailboat.
Right.
And he's like there. He's like, I'm going to sit here. I got a lunch and I'm going to see this goddamn sailboat. It's the same thing with me. I'm looking at this film and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on, but I'm going to figure this out if it takes me forever.
It's the Rubik's Cube of movies.
It really is. I have no idea what the hell's going on.
Oh, that should be its tagline. It's the Rubik's Cube of movies.
I guess we could talk a little bit about the acting. And by acting, I do mean by anybody who was not a puppet or a box.
Oh, wait. So the main guy wasn't a puppet?
I don't think so.
He acted like a puppet. He is stiff. he puts the guy in Birdemic almost to shame a little bit.
Yeah, Mark Hicks plays the bounty hunter guy who's walking around in kind of like a weird leather raincoat. He's kind of pudgy, kind of jowly. He's got his hair slicked back, and everything has been added in later. It's all ADR. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't know. It's like he didn't really want to emote anything. He didn't really convey any inflections or any emotion to anything. Mm-hmm. He's just kind of like, mama.
Yep. It's kind of annoying at times because, like, when you would think that somebody would normally have a reaction or whatever, he doesn't.
This is his movie. This is his baby, his dream. I mean, he's doing everything else. You would think that you would at least put forth some effort into the character.
Especially if you're the main character.
God, and you're carrying the story for everybody else?
Well, technically he didn't. And we talked about this while we were watching it. It's like the puppets were really the ones that carried the movie, God. I guess. And we couldn't even understand what they were saying.
What a poor decision. It's like, please, let's let the unintelligible puppets who are going, mwah, 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 let them be the one to explain everything. Because, you know, what we want to do is read all the stuff that's up on screen. And that's only part of the time. You know, they don't even do that for half the time.
And that's what I'm saying. Like I said before, they do that like some of the time you can hear what they're saying and some of the time you can't. So and then the subtitles, I mean, every now and then subtitles, every now and then not subtitles.
And what I love the fact, what really sort of makes it interesting for me is the fact, again, I think I mentioned it earlier, is that even when you do understand or can read, it makes no sense. It doesn't help at all. You know,
so it still didn't matter, I guess.
No, it's like weird jargon that makes no. I mean, you know, I think they say at one point it's like, oh, there's a herd of llama hermer homolongs. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. It could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. So yeah, and like every measure of time is some sort of strange thing that makes no sense to us. Every creature they mention is something that we've never heard of, so it makes no sense to us. We have no frame of reference for anything in this film. You know, and that's, I get it, you, that this is an alien world and alien creatures and alien people, but that, you know, you still need to have something to engage the audience with. Mm-hmm. We are not aliens. We need something to identify with.
Mm-hmm.
Besides Pudgy Man, who sort of half-heartedly delivers his lines, that's all we've got, and a bunch of unintelligible puppets going, bleh, 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 bleh.
Exactly.
And it's great when they start to argue, and it's like, bleh, 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 and it just goes on for minutes.
It literally sounds like that, guys. Don't, like, you think, like, he's making fun of this movie in some way or another? God. He is literally mimicking the way that they talk, so. And which is funny, because sometimes you can actually hear what they're saying.
You get a word every now and again.
Well, no, I mean, I think there was one time that we actually understood every word that this one creature was saying, with the blah, blah, blah things, like, being over on top of it. So it's like Mark doing the voices or whatever. Put those other extra things, all the filters on it, so it doesn't sound like a normal person talking. However, he's saying everything in English.
Came from a trade we did with the Blue and the Terrium system.
She seems to be sufficient. How much was the sufficient?
Only 12 of the various catamarans and one Terium Del Vitum.
I miss you, and you owe me order to find more of these chlorinators immediately. These are the insufficient amount to call stabs.
So it's like everybody, they actually are talking in English, but they're talking English in their own freaking language.
That is so stupid. I mean, generally speaking, most of the times you're doing ADR is because you either, you're getting sound that you don't want to have in your film, you've got to redo it, or, you know, the dialogue is incorrect, or it's garbled or something. You're trying to make it clearer. And in fact, in this film, it's all ADR'd, and most of the time it's making it worse, and you have no idea what they're saying. So this is a big problem when visually the movie's not showing you anything that makes any bit of sense. So if you can't see what's going on and understand, and you can't understand what they're saying, what do you have? It's just, you know, it's just nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. It's ridiculous. And the fact that Troma decided to release this, to me, it's just, you know, I think this is just a Lloyd Kaufman joke. I really do.
You think he's laughing to the bank,
right?
I
think he laughs to the bank every time somebody, some dumbass like me, buys a copy of this. Because, you know, it's on YouTube, but I had to have it. I had to have this in my collection so I could torment people with this.
So if you haven't seen this movie, go watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, don't be an idiot like me and waste money. I don't know.
It's like $40, dude.
Well, I didn't spend that much, I don't think. I think I got it
used and new or something.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. There are plenty of people who got this and said, what the fuck is this? And got rid of it as soon as they could, which is how I got it. I got it used. But, you know, it's a tough one to sit through multiple times. It really is. I mean,
oh, yeah. I'm never watching this again. Like, never. Never.
So compare this with, say, Barn of the Blood Llama. How do you compare the two?
Because
that's pretty weird, too.
No. I think Barn of the Blood Llama, what did I rate that? Like a 9.5 or something? Mm-hmm. I think it's a tie, maybe, like, as far as, like, my feelings toward it. Because even though they're both completely different movies, they both just annoyed me in being, like, so bad. But at least Barn of the Blood Llama, I could kind of understand what was going on. The sound wasn't too bad. It wasn't too atrocious. So
I mean,
could,
as I recall, Gibby had a really, really thick Texas accent.
Yeah, exactly.
Too.
I mean, even then, but you can still understand what they were saying without subtitles. Even here, you can understand it even with subtitles because they would mention things in places that you didn't know what they where they were, what they were talking about.
You have no frame of reference for anything in this film.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's probably a toss up between both of those.
Yeah,
but I guess that brings us to our ranking. If we want to do that, because we pretty much talked about this whole movie. And
God, we're not even half an hour.
I know, but that's usually 20 minutes. We'll be a half hour in after this thing. I'm sorry. I know. I know. It's a short one, but unfortunately, that is what she says. But yeah, so no, that is a, you know, I think that this will be a good way to start it because, you know, start the next season. We'll get back to doing hour long shows, but I think this movie in particular did not have enough, you know, to warrant a whole like hour long discussion, you know, on it. So.
Oh,
sorry.
I don't know. There's all the different kinds of puppets we could talk about all the different space scenes.
You didn't even understand what they... Whatever. Stop that crap. You know I'm serious and you know I'm right. But anyway, let's give our rankings, man. So what... I know what my ranking is. A 10?
10.
You're already going to start it off with giving it a 10.
How much worse could it be?
No, but like... Well, I don't know. I wouldn't go to 10 yet.
Maybe if okay. I did say the music was all right. Okay, 9.5. That's as generous as
I know,
possibly could
that
be.
That is mine too.
That's
it's
as generous
9.5.
As I could be.
I don't think this warrants an exact 10. And the main reason is because as bad as it is, and
it
it's horrible, and if you've seen it, you know, and if you haven't seen it, oh good lord, we're not telling you to go see it necessarily or not go see it. It's a movie that it has to be seen to be understood
or to be believed.
So pretty much, what is it? This movie, I think is a 9.5. And my main reasoning is like. I feel like we were shortened with the to be continued.
Oh, and yeah, that was the other thing.
Yeah, and I feel like there was more to it that maybe would explain some stuff.
The director does say that this was supposed to be the beginning of a TV show. So this was packaged as a movie. When it turned, I guess they figured out that they weren't going to make a TV show out of this. But that was his initial plan. I don't know if he pitched this to, like, Sci-Fi or whoever. But
I would have loved to see those meetings.
Oh, my God. I would love to have seen that,
too. It'd be a fly in the wall in those meetings.
I'm thinking that thing in Ed Wood where they look at his glitter gun and like, this is a joke, right?
This is a joke. That's the guy I saw in when I met, you know, and everything. But,
so, you know, I guess that's kind of where it is. But, yeah, I mean, literally, when I said at the end of the film or to the end that we saw where they get stuck and they can't pull themselves out and the movie just ends and the thing flies out of the box's head and that's it. And then it says to be continued. So there's apparently all this extra story that we'll never get unless we track down Mark Hicks and interview him on your show. And ask him what his grand scheme was for this film.
Now, Mark Hicks, if you are listening and you are out there, please contact us.
For the love of God, please.
IndieFilmCafe@gmail.com.
We would love to find out what the heck was going on in your head.
Because, yeah, we would love to dive into that. Because we're not hating on the movie at all. Like, people listening to us, please understand, we don't hate this movie or anything.
No.
When we get these things, we only watch things that we actually enjoy in some way or another. Maybe not ankle biters. That was fun though. That was fun. It was enjoyable. But that was not something that, like, from last year that was,
this movie could have used a midget or two.
Yeah. You know what? I think you're right. I think this would have been the perfect movie for a midget.
Absolutely. But, call it another species.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, you put makeup on, put a mask on there. Who knows what they are? They use them in Star Wars.
I know. The way you said that is you can make a whole other species out of the midgets. That just sounds like a horrible phrase.
Yes, we catch them and we put them in the back and then we breed with them.
Oh my goodness, this just turned different. See, we don't have Jen here.
We don't have the grand automaton.
You know, she's listening probably, but she's going to be like
regulating our speech here.
She'll be back. She'll be back. She'll be listening
now,
to this thing.
I can see her shaking her head in the. At the coffee shop saying, oh, those boys, what are they doing now?
Oh, my goodness.
No, this is definitely one that I had wanted to do, but I knew Jen was not going to put up with this film. There's just no way.
No, she would have been bored.
And it's not so much, like I said, it's not like it's violent, because it's not, and it's not like there's nudity, because there's none. It's just incomprehensible as fuck.
But she might have been able to decipher a couple of things that we might not have.
It's possible. I just don't know that she wants to sit through it.
Yeah.
It's
I didn't want to sit through
it. It's an endurance test.
But I did. I can't believe I did. Now, we have to preface this by saying that when we first started it out, he had told me it was 117 minutes long. And I say, are you kidding me? That's almost 2 hours long. What he meant was it was an hour and 17 minutes.
Well, I did kind of say that after it started a little bit, just to sort of get you really worried.
And then it was, we looked at the display and it said an hour and 17 minutes. And I was like,
wanted to get your
okay, I can survive an hour and 17 minutes, but almost 2 hours of this was going to kill me.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It was rough. It was one of the rougher ones.
It's just because it doesn't make sense. I mean, if it made sense, I think it would have been cool.
Maybe some more, dialogue that was understandable or more. Well,
we did have that narrator, which we didn't mention earlier.
That's true. We had a narrator, which I believe was probably Hicks again.
Yeah, I don't think so. He sounded different.
It's possible, but
it didn't sound like a different accent and sound like a different person to me. But anyway, the narrator talks throughout the whole movie, but he doesn't actually. Actually, throughout the whole movie, he kind of does say stuff or whatever, interject. But he's not.
Well, just think of what this movie would have been without that.
Yikes.
Because he does explain sort of a lot, even if it doesn't make sense. You know, at least he's setting the stage, because otherwise it's like, I have no clue what the hell's going on.
Yep.
But, so it's...
So he could have explained a little bit more, maybe.
More subtitles might have helped, a little more consistency with the subtitles.
Exposition, for sure.
Except, you've pointed out on Criterion Watch and other things that there are people who don't like movies because they feel they don't like foreign films because they feel they have to read and they don't want to read.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of a problem with this too. I mean, if you're relying on just listening to the film, you're in a bad shape because you're not going to understand 95% of it.
Right. Sorry, blind people. Or wait. Yeah, blind people. Blind people, you're screwed,
dyslexic
man.
Dyslexic people.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could always put on the subtitle copy of it or something. I don't know. Maybe we could have done that.
I mean, it does have subtitles. It's just not
inconsistent.
Yeah, it's just not throughout the whole thing. And it would have been nicer if the subtitles were throughout the whole thing. But then again, I don't even think I still would have understood it.
Well, that's the big point I made, is that unfortunately the stuff I did hear, I didn't quite understand because they don't have a frame of reference for what they're talking about.
Right. So we talked about that a lot. But so,
Hicks probably has a whole world built up in his head that it all sort of makes sense to him, but it's the follow through. And you know, and I'll tell you what, this is a completely original kind of film. You're not going to see very many films like this. This is world building, literally universe building. It's audacious. It really is. This is an example of having a lot of audacity, a lot of balls, frankly, and a lot of ambition, without really having the kind of budget or skill to follow up and
talent.
Make it. Well, yeah, frankly. To sort of follow up with your ambition and make it into a, you know, picture that everybody understands. You know?
Exactly.
His ambitions outstripped his ability to tell the story. I imagine that had this been done in a different way with more money or with other people, somebody else to help him along, because there wasn't anybody else to tell him, hey, Mark, you might not want to do this, or you might want to try this different, or, you know what I mean? Having somebody, he didn't have anybody else there to help him with this.
Yeah, he did everything himself.
Right, he literally everything himself. So he didn't have anybody else to help him. So maybe if there was a little more money, a little more help, this could have been a better thing. And who knows, there may have been this really epic story going on that we just don't know about because there's all this layers of gook on there and it's unrecognizable.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of a shame. So maybe at some point, maybe someday in the future, if he scores enough money, maybe he reshoots this, you know, remakes it.
Maybe.
I mean, there are technological advances since 2005, and you can redo this digitally. You could do the special effects a lot better now, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you get some help with the puppets so that they actually look better.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, out of all the things, the puppets were pretty cool. So
they were in their own ways. They just weren't dinosaurs.
Well, I honestly didn't even think of them as dinosaurs. I just thought of them as creatures.
Well, because that was the part of the beginning, is it says it's the war of the alien. I mean, war of the dinosaurs or something.
Alien dinosaurs.
Alien dinosaurs.
I know Alien was in that title. Alien dinosaurs. So.
Right, right.
Whatever. But
they looked like one of them looked like a pancake. I mean, there aren't a whole lot of dinosaurs that look like pancakes. Others look like chicken wings that were dipped in hot sauce where they're dripping off. Just very strange, bizarre things. But anyway, maybe at some point, if he has more money and he has more time, you know, nobody hits a home run at the first, you know, step up at the plate. You know, he's had 15 years to think about it, maybe sharpen the story a little bit. Who knows? Maybe he's able to come back and reshoot this and make this into a better picture. It's possible.
Maybe. Who knows? But
I mean, I wish I knew what he was doing. I looked on the internet and there's very little information about this gentleman. I have no idea what he's doing.
So like I said, Mark, call, you know, contact us because we would love to hear from you and set something up and about talking to you about this.
I mean, it was cool to see the extra that was on the disc where he had that little 4-minute interview. But that's just like a tiny, tiny little bit. We need so much more. Would love to be able to sit down and talk with you about all of this stuff. Because clearly there's a lot in your head that you see that is just not translating over to us, the audience, that we'd like to know about. I'd like to know about. You know?
Yeah.
You'd probably like to know more about it, wouldn't you?
Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe there's a Blu-ray in the future.
Oh, my God. 4K, baby.
A restoration and an explanation, and who knows, maybe a director's cut with new footage and new stuff put in there.
Oh, my goodness.
There you go.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to have to say goodbye.
We did our ratings, right?
We did our ratings. I said 9.5. You said 9.5.
Yeah, I originally thought 10. But again, just to sort of get back to what we were doing last year as far as explaining the stinkometer, the higher the number, the worse, the stinkier the movie is. So if it's a 1, it's not particularly stinky at all. If it's a 10, it's really bad.
Really, yeah.
And we scored 9.5, so...
9.5 each. That's right. Not bad to start it off with. I think he thought I was going to say a 10 on it and everything. We're going to start off with a harsh 10, and...
Oh, it's a harsh...
It's harsh 9.5, for sure.
I originally thought 10, but then I thought about it. I was like, okay, there are a couple of things that I did like about it.
This is why we work together, because then you can... You know, possibly change your mind with talking and talking it over and figuring it out. Because honestly, I think people rank movies way too quickly when they watch them. They don't ever get a chance to like rewatch them. I'm not what rewatching is, but just saying. Well, you know, nobody really knows.
If Just Jen came out and said, "Hey, let's rewatch this," you wouldn't do it.
No, you guys can.
Oh, get out of here! Oh my goodness, that's terrible.
No, that is no. That is terrible. I don't want to sit there. I don't want to watch.
Wouldn't even do it for Jen. That's awful.
Well, Jen, you know, Jen's a friend, but, you know, she... Not I don't think she'd want to watch it.
No.
I don't think she would want to watch this either, so, for sure. So, anyway, that's it. If you guys want to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, it's all at Indie Film Cafe. One word.
Mm-hmm.
Also follow us on the website.
Indie Reviews.
No, Indie Film
Cafe. Cafe Reviews.
Dot Reviews. Oh, wait. Indie
Film Cafe. Indie dot Reviews.
Dot Reviews. Right. Not dot com, but dot Reviews. Indie Film Cafe. Dot Reviews.
Right, there you right, go. Right, right.
So you can check us out on there. Links will be at the bottom of this thing, most likely, when we put it out.
Don't forget our Patreon, too, because... you know, unless we're going to be stuck with cheap, terrible puppets, we need the extra moolah so that we can keep things moving along. And by the way, speaking of cheap puppets, we did have that one little tiny continuity where he was going up to talk to the box, and you saw a half-empty bottle of Coke sitting there that somebody forgot to take off. So
continuity.
That was our continuity moment.
So the monkey got to join us. The
monkey got to join in.
Yeah, he really enjoyed that.
He was probably the only one.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I enjoyed seeing it because it was kind of neat. I wouldn't have even noticed it.
I know.
But you noticed it, and then the
through all that visual spaghetti, it was hard to pick out.
Yeah,
did.
But good. So thank you guys for checking this out. Join us. I guess the next time will be sometime in late January,
right,
that we release this one. This one should be in should be coming out around the following Monday, so what is the 14th, I believe.
Somewhere along that time.
That's
now that we have to sort of edit our own stuff here, it's gonna, you know, take a little bit of time for us to get figure things out.
And I will be having a birthday coming up.
Yay.
On January 12th, so that's exciting. And then, so we can talk about other stuff that's going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially with the Sick Flick Productions whole thing. There's
a lot going on.
January 20th, we're shooting basically a horror hostess show called DeVilla's, Midnight Movie Madness. Oh my goodness. I even came up with the title. It's a tongue twister right there, a little bit. And then after DeVilla's stuff, we're going to be recording a podcast and we won't say what we're filming yet because it'll be a surprise for everybody. We like to
Yay.
Do that. So it'll be fun, but we'll have some of the people from that. So hopefully we'll have some special guests.
That's right.
And then in February, we're shooting a teaser for my show, our show, Supernatural Assassins, that we're going to be working on. And I'm totally excited about that. We're having some awesome, talented people fly out to be in
this. Absolutely. And we're going to get some of them as special guests as well.
Yes. And so, like, right after that, so the day after Valentine's Day is the day that we're shooting that teaser, then the day after the teaser, they're coming out to do some promotional stuff with us and also to do some, and we're not going to mention who yet. If you follow us, you'll probably find out. So follow Sick Flick Productions, because there will be an update on the website for sickflickproductions.com. So when this is already airing, this podcast right here, it'll already be up there. So if you're already following us, you'll know. But if not, go to sickflickproductions.com, check out all the information. So,
and this is all part of our push to become a transmedia company, where we have podcasts and movies and webisodes and all sorts of stuff going on,
like tied in together and making like basically one complete story, but like all a bunch of different storylines, different plots, and different stuff going on. You know,
and
so
we're going to be making little character podcasts too that we're going to start adding in to our shows. So keep an ear peeled, as they say.
Yeah, definitely. Like I think either the Indie Film Cafe or maybe even the Independent Corner radio show will have those things on there, so we don't have to create a whole new podcast for this stuff, but and get our stuff out there a little bit more.
There you go.
That's the plan.
We're taking over the world.
Mm-hmm.
One continuity error at a time.
Yes. Thank you, Continuity Monkey.
Yes, and one crappy, lousy, horrible puppet at a time.
Hey, that's not a bad puppet right there.
I know. He's not covered in corn syrup.
Yeah, we're talking about his Continuity Monkey. But thank you guys for listening and putting up with this, because this was a crazy movie to have to do a whole podcast
about.
It's a whack-a-doodle. But if you have seen it, let us know what you guys think of the movie. Did we kind of do the movie justice talking about it? Did we not? Is there stuff that, you know, you guys think still should be talked about? If you haven't gotten seen it yet, go watch it on YouTube. Don't pay for it.
Trust me, we did the best we could with what we had.
If it's on Amazon Prime, which I bet it is, check that out. I mean, whatever it is, just don't do that, because, I mean, good Lord, you know? Like, paying for this would be...
Hello.
Hey. Yeah, you know, you're the one who likes paying for this kind of crap.
I love to have my collection expand.
So don't be upset that I was saying that. All right, well, thank you guys so much. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and tell all your friends about us.
Yep, we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Extremely worthy creature. This satisfactory way we've won this life forever.